Welcome to the latest Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast, brought to you from the Aquarium Rush Studios in Grand Rapids, Michigan. My name is Ben.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Charles.
When you walk through a big box store through their fish department, there are all of these things in the store that look as though they are designed to catch the attention of a child. Tonight, we're going to talk about what we really think is going on and how it really should be.
You're getting confused because first we need to do a shameless plug.
That's what it is. I knew there was something we had to do next.
Anyway, go to watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. We've been getting lots of orders from podcast listeners, and I can't tell you how huge that is.
Yay.
Both because we like selling things and we take it as, hey, you guys are kind of liking what we're doing here. So check out our live aquarium plans, check out our dry goods and the merch designed by Ben and myself.
I'm really, really proud of the aquarium plants that we produce. And
yeah.
Yes, produce many. Either produce or turn into, we convert them from their immersed form into their submerged form often before we sell them. So anyway.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference if you're just getting started in a planted aquarium to have plants that can start growing right away that you don't need to watch die first. So that's what we're aiming for.
Yes, I like that. Anyway, okay, onto our podcast. So we're talking about aquariums for kids. And it feels like when you walk through some of those stores and even some LFSs and you see all of the stuff, quote unquote, designed for kids, it feels like it's not designed for kids. It's designed for what adults think kids want.
Yeah, I think
to be fair, it is designed by adults who are trying to, at least in theory, market to kids.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It seems like when we have kids in here, and just, you know, little confession here, we don't have diving dogs, red gravel, or things that glow in the dark. We don't do it. But we sure do have lots of kids that keep coming back and seem to really like their aquariums.
Mm-hmm. I think some of what we're seeing there is, like, why does a kid set up an aquarium and why does a parent want to set up an aquarium for their kids?
Yeah.
A kid sets up an aquarium because it's the pet their parents will let them have.
Yeah, that's true. I can't have a puppy, so at least I get a fish.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's already that sense that this is a consolation prize. Mm-hmm. And you add on that the parent really doesn't want to take care of the tank. So they're throwing anything in there that they think will get their kids more interested.
Get to keep their attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So princess castles, characters they know they like. Parent doesn't want to have to learn more about this tank. They just want their kid to care about it.
Right.
But what do kids really care about when it comes to aquariums?
I think the princess castles and the diving dogs and the glow-in-the-dark things, I think that does get their attention for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's anything about those things that hold their attention. And I think that's what the whole aquariums marketed towards kids are missing, is not just getting their attention, but also holding it.
It's designed to be trendy, not foster a love of the hobby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or trigger that, I want that reaction, like that impulse, this is a toy. But an aquarium's not a toy. An aquarium is either one or a collection of live things to take care of. So why aren't we trying to drive the interest from that point, not from this, I see it, I want it, give it to me aspect?
So I think what we should do is we should talk about first, what are some of the reasons parents want a kid to have an aquarium? What are some of the reasons a kid really wants an aquarium? And then what are some really cool aquarium ideas that not only will the kid like, but the parent might not hate as well?
Yeah, I want to go back to Amy's comic real quick about, like, why is it about, like, I want that and not about keeping something alive? And I think that's a really good commentary of, like, the way a lot of this industry is actually set up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see the way that some people react to, how do I put this? The way that some people treat picking fish, or like when you try to give them advice, it's like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's definitely a minority, at least around here, but there is this aspect of entitlement in some people. Like, you're entitled to have this because I bought it. Not like it's a living thing that's, you are a steward of its care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's the consolation prize pet. You get that because killing a kitten is sadder. You know?
Yeah, we'll get them a fish. If they kill the fish, maybe they can have a puppy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? If they kill the fish, eh, no big deal. Now, just so y'all know, around here, we think that is a big deal. Okay, not as big of a deal as getting killing a puppy. I admit that.
But it's something that should be taken seriously because of the inherent life that it has.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Remember the Jersey story?
Yeah.
The three Jersey guys. Should I tell that story?
Yeah, I think you probably should tell that one again.
All right, I'm going to put on my best.
Only so you can do your accent again, because I'm sure everyone's just waiting on that.
I know, right? And I'm just dying to give my best Jersey accent for these guys. I just can't help it. So these guys walked into the shop, and it was three of them. Sorry, three of them.
It was worth going back for that.
I know, right? It was father, son, and grandpa that walked into the shop. And all of them had matching Adidas sweatpants on, red with the black stripes down the leg.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can't make that up.
No, you can't. And these guys were looking for some fish for the kid. I said, "Hey, tell me about your tank." "What do you mean, tell me about the tank? We just want to get a fish for the kid." I said, "Well, I'd love to get you a fish for your kid, but I don't want to sell you a fish so that the kid just can watch it die, you know? Tell me about your tank." "Well, it's a little 2-gallon bowl. So, you know, what about this fish right here?" And he's looking at a swordtail.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "That is not going to do well in a 2-gallon bowl." And he said, "So you're not going to sell me the fish?" And my first thought was, how is that a correlation? Right?
Yeah.
Right? The fish is going to die. And his thought was not, "Oh, I don't want that to die," or, "Oh, I'm going to just waste $4. It was, "So you're not going to sell me the fish?" And I just, at that point, looked at him and said, "No, I'm not going to sell you the fish."
Yeah, if you're going to push it to that point at that early part of this, no, right. No.
Yeah, it was obvious. He said, "So you mean, so he said something like, you know, in this classic Jersey puffed out chest kind of way. "So you're telling me maybe I need to take my business elsewhere?" You know what the only response to that for me is? Yes, absolutely. You should take your business elsewhere.
If we reach the point where you're asking that question, the answer is always yes.
It's always yes.
That's...
Meanwhile, there's a kid here who would have been thrilled with his betta if you would have been able to get to that point.
He probably would have been, yeah. Yeah. And if he... I question whether or not even a betta would have done anything for it at this situation.
Right. Like,
clearly this was, we're going to buy this kid something because that's what this kid wants. And if we want something else tomorrow, who cares if it's just a fish?
Yeah. You know?
And that attitude, I think, ruins kids with fish. Not to mention how bad it is for the fish or for the hobby. But,
or for society.
Yeah, right, right. But I think it also doesn't give kids enough credit.
No.
And that's what the princess castles and the glow in the dark stuff, the stuff that looks silly and kitschy and cute.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a son or a daughter out there with a princess castle in their aquarium and they absolutely love it, I apologize if they love it.
Mm-hmm.
I did see one time that they had a castle and they had this really cool moss stuff growing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it.
Oh, and putting some character decor that your kids love in an aquarium, there is nothing wrong with that.
Agreed.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, two of the service accounts I take care of, one of them has a submarine that I move around the tank because mm-hmm. the kids like trying to find.
Perfect. That's cute.
And the other one has like a SpongeBob village that I rearrange every time I show up. Nice. Just so it's like...
Something's new.
Yeah, something's happening. I don't know. It's that tank has very much turned into a diorama for me.
But, like, I distinctly remember as a kid, you know, we didn't have much for pets. We did have a fish tank, actually, and it did have clown puke and plastic plants and all that stuff. But, like, I was obsessed with stuffed animals as a kid. And I remember, like, being indignant and angry about how few... like realistic stuffed animals there were. Like, I care about animals. I love animals. I want them to look like what they are because I want to collect them. Like, I want that. I want that piece of that.
Not some sort of like cartoon.
Yeah. Like, I want that real animal. And I remember being so frustrated that adults took that choice from me of like wanting something that actually represented something real.
And I never thought about it that way, but that's absolutely true. I had the... exactly the same.
Yeah. Like, one of my favorite stuffed animals was a bald eagle because it was a bald eagle. It wasn't a bird with giant eyes. Like,
I had a sea otter that had an actual seashell on its chest.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
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 And that meant everything.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that gets us through the fake stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And gets us to, I think, Charles, you brought up an interesting point and something that can be accomplished with a kid's aquarium. You move stuff around.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason that holds interest is because a successful and healthy aquarium can be really, really dynamic.
Yeah.
And it can change.
Yeah.
Live plants in a kid aquarium
mm-hmm.
are amazing. Some people are right now saying, but live plants just make things harder. No, they don't. They make it easier.
The submarine okay? tank is filled with plants and that's how I hide it.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems foolish to me to set up a freshwater aquarium without plants regardless.
Right.
So just like you may as well. What are plastic plants doing for anybody?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
And if you can watch it grow.
Buenos Aires tetras and silver dollars.
Sure. Okay.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Be careful of which plastic plants you choose because some silver dollars will chew those up anyway. But.
Right. But you know, you can still have a pretty dynamic aquarium without plastic plants with silver dollars and right. Buenos That's Aires tetras.
And you can get away with a lot more than I thought you could. Like, the same two tanks are cichlid tanks that I alluded to and both have live plants.
Yeah.
Like Malawi cichlids.
So it seems like the reasons that parents are going to set up aquariums for children are going to be to teach them something about the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
To not just teach them something, but expose them to the natural world. And yes, I'm separating those two as teaching and exposing as two different
right.
things.
To show them how to appreciate it is right, yeah. more of the purpose of exposing them.
They may never get the opportunity to put on a mask and snorkel and go see fish in the wild so mm-hmm. they can see them in the tank. To teach responsibility, get the kid involved in taking care of the aquarium, and then just for the sheer entertainment value of it.
Yeah.
Right? But why do kids want it? And I think that those are the questions that adults need to ask when they're looking at setting up an aquarium for a child is not just why do I want my kid to have a fish tank, but why do I think my kid will want a fish tank?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's stood out a lot to me between retail and service is that so far my experience has been that adults care a lot more about color than kids do. Mm-hmm. Kids care a lot more about activity.
Yes.
So like,
that's a perfect way to describe it.
Like, I think like zebra danios and like black ruby barbs might be like perfect kid tanks fish because oh, yeah. they're always doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, we get so many parents that come in and they're trying to look for, I mean, okay, they're the ones taking care of the tank, right?
Right.
They are getting it for their kid. Their kid is the one that wants it, but they know that they're the one who's got to take care of the tank. Like, these are good parents. These are the people who you want to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And you show them live plants and they're like, I don't know about that. And you show them guppies and they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to deal with those babies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but do you want your kid to look at the tank?
Right.
Do you want
right.
your kid to love the tank? Because there is nothing that feels better than seeing a bunch of babies come out and knowing that you're responsible for it.
I will never forget the first time we had a 10-year-old girl come in talking about her first tank. And the mom said something to the effect of, you know, we tried to get her a princess tank, but that's just not what she wanted. What do you think this going to make this kid happy? And so I talked to the kid about mm-hmm. what the kid wanted. And we talked about guppies. And the mom said, oh, what do we do with the babies? And I looked at the kid and I said, if you get babies, you grow them up and you bring them back to me and I will give you a dollar for each baby. And the look on the kid's face was like, wow, that's cool. And the mom was like, well, at least that's something. And 4 months later, this kid came in with four great little guppies and the biggest, proudest smile.
Yeah.
On her, it was incredible. It was fantastic. The kid was so proud.
Mm-hmm.
The mom, by the way, also had a completely different attitude when the kid, when 4 months later, they were walking in with the baby guppies, looking at the proud look on her daughter's face.
Yeah.
Super cool. I loved it.
One of the coolest phenomena that we ever see in the store is the aquarium family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a beautiful thing.
One of my favorite trajectories I've seen in the club recently was that like a dad basically joined the club because his daughter was interested. And then because he wanted his daughter to get exposed to these people who knew more than him and could help guide her in this journey of this thing she wanted to do. And then along the way, he just started doing it too. And now he's on the board.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, that enthusiasm is just infectious.
Yeah,
you're not going to get that enthusiasm with glow in the dark fish and red gravel. It's just
no.
Okay, and it can happen.
Sure, but it's temporary, right? Yeah. That's something that you set up for now because they want it, not something that you're intending on watching grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then again, if it dies, who cares? Because they'll move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But if they watch it grow and there's something dynamic happening, they may stick with it and they may not move on to the next thing.
I know I didn't.
Yeah. I did for a while, but then I came back around.
Yeah.
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 So
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just trying to come back to the reasons that parents want their kids to get into it. I want to make sure that we address those because those were really good.
Teaching a child about the natural world, mm-hmm. and exposing a child about the natural world. And yeah. So the difference there I'm pushing is teaching them about the natural world would be guppies making babies, yeah. Right?
It means it has to in some way sort of reflect the natural world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The interaction between live plants and fish and how that can help their tank be better. And that's what I'm talking about when we're saying teaching the natural world. Exposing to the natural world is simply, look, these are real live fish and we're going to create an environment that's relatively natural.
It sounds like exist somewhere.
Yeah. It sounds like point number two is a really strong pitch for a biotope tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But even if your parents can spend some time figuring out, you know, you're going to do a lot of research on the internet. Your kid's going to do a lot of research on the internet and YouTube. So talking about why these things get along, where these things come from, what those environments look like, that's a type of education that is not going to happen in public school.
In many public schools. We got some fish tanks in public school, so, you know.
Yeah,
and that was my only.
Most public school fish tanks are Mbuna tanks that don't have anything about where they come from. I remember having one in my elementary school, and I did not know or care anything about those fish.
Oh,
yeah.
Because didn't look like anybody else did either.
Yeah.
But if there was a sign there that said this is what the Amazon River looked like, I would have been riveted.
That would have been a lot more interesting. Mm-hmm. True. True. So the next one I have is teaching responsibility.
Yeah. And that's like the big one for a lot of people because that's the test pet thing, right?
Right. And that can be anywhere from letting a child who is too young help with feeding a fish. And okay, pro tip, side note, parents, young children, yes, have your kids help feed the fish. Don't let your kids overfeed the fish and don't let your kids have access to the fish food.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then water changes and scrubbing algae are something that they can learn pretty quick and see the results from pretty quick. And, mm-hmm. and that's something that I think a kid that can help make it seem less like a chore and more like a cool thing to do.
Yeah. You know, 5-gallon betta tanks are bread and butter around here.
Right.
That's what we're selling. This is what most of these kids' tanks are going to start out as, is just like a single fish, small tank. And so the parents ask me what they have to do. And 20% a week, every other week, water change works just fine. But you know what works even better than that? Pulling out a cup every night after you brush your teeth.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Because that teaches you the routine responsibility. It's something that a kid can do on their own that they know is under their control. It's really hard to be a kid because the whole world is out of your control.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one. I never thought about that. I like that.
Yeah.
And it's actually better.
Right. Those smaller, more frequent water changes in a small tank like that make a huge difference.
Yeah, that's great. Get a dedicated fish cup.
Mm-hmm.
Rinse it really, 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 really well. Don't use soap on it.
Yeah. Don't use it for anything else. Just have it be the fish cup.
Yeah. I had a fish cup when I was in college. I never thought about doing it like every night before I went to bed, but I had a fish cup in college and I still have it.
Awesome.
Yep. It's an orange one that these two girls that lived in the same dorm as we did, they said, this needs to be your fish cup. It says fish cup on it.
Okay.
Solid, that's solid great. Logic.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So you can bring them in to even like the smallest points of maintenance.
Right.
I mean, kids listen when you talk to them about why things happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Scooping out some water and pouring back in is really easy.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Feeding is really easy when you know how little to do it. And there are kids that come in and I'm like, how much are you feeding your betta every night? Exactly 5 pellets, just like you said.
That serious intent look on a kid's face is unbeatable.
I'm like, that's right.
You rock.
Good job.
And I bet their parents are getting in big trouble if they don't count out those 5 pellets. I love that.
It's great stuff.
The last reason I have on there is simply for entertainment, to give them something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what the kid wants too.
Yeah.
There's also some sort of like, I guess the word I want to use is reassurance in it, at least for me, because there's so much things online that you can like use your time for now these days. And so working on my tanks has been a very good way for me to ground myself in reality, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it, in that like, even if I'm home alone and it just gives me something to do in the real world, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
that's like, that keeps me like in this moment here instead of like disassociating.
It's something very tactile and very present.
Yeah.
Like it's a physical object, not a screen.
And I think there's like just that by itself, there's value in that, especially for someone like me. Mm. It's very therapeutic.
So meshing that entertainment, and I know parents, particularly parents of young children, and that entertainment thing is, oh, something that'll make my kid just sit there for 5 minutes. Yeah. Right? So that's a benefit to the parent, but that's also exactly what the kid wants too.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it that's going to make that entertaining for the kid? I'll tell you what the very first one is. And really, it's not something that is going to make it entertaining. It's going to make it not entertaining, and that's having fish die.
Yeah.
Right? We know around here that if you are creating a more natural environment, you're reducing the likelihood of having fish die.
Yeah.
If you are creating a less natural environment, ergo clown puke gravel and glow-in-the-dark diving dogs and glow-in-the-dark plants and really brightly colored fish that I'm not going to go into too much detail about.
Plastic, inert.
Right.
Yes.
Right. None of those things are going to interact with the environment like good natural rocks, good natural driftwood, good live plants. And so interacting with the environment is going to reduce the likelihood of those fish dying, because that's not entertaining for anybody.
Yeah. And maybe this is the time to say it. Parents care more about fish dying than kids do. Kids are kind of psychopaths.
It's true. It's so much more matter of fact to a kid than it is to a parent.
It's like, oh, my fish died.
Yep.
Okay. Well, can I get another one? You know?
Yeah. Let's get another one. Let's find out why that died. We know the answer to it, but really we can find out why?
But
yes. Let's find out.
It's a really difficult conversation to have with a kid, but to be honest, once you do, they kind of get it.
They do. Right.
And it's a smaller way to learn how to cope with that.
Mm-hmm. We've had parents in here with I don't want my kid to have to see a dead fish. Well, okay, let's do what we can to keep it alive. But I think you need to pay a little more attention to your kid and realize, just like you said, it's probably not as big a deal as you think.
Yeah. It's part of life. And do you want them to learn that when it's grandma's time, or do you want to learn it now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that they're not going to feel that sense of loss. It's not they're going to be indifferent to that loss, but it gives you the opportunity to explain what loss is.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can do something about it when it comes to fish.
Yeah.
So
I also think that it can be a good like learning experience for like running down that thought train of like a lot of these things are preventable. I mean, that's true for people too. We're like in this sense, we're small scale giving children the opportunity to learn good habits, to learn that actions have consequences for mm-hmm. health, and those are things that they can carry on into mm-hmm. their own life as they get older, where like
true.
If you're building good habits for how you exercise, how you eat, that's going to have long-term effects over your lifespan. And so every fact of maintaining an aquarium is a small scale easy way of learning how to be better in the real world.
Yeah, how to support life.
Yes.
Yeah. Why does my fish get cornflakes, or it doesn't get cornflakes instead of fish food? Because these are the nutrients it needs to survive to be healthy. We have that too.
We need different stuff.
We need enough room for them to exercise. Bringing nature into their lives enriches them. Those are all great lessons to learn.
Charles, you touched on a while back about moving the submarine around and some of those things. And I think that that's one of those things with kids, particularly younger kids, that dynamic change that can happen in an aquarium. Particularly one with live plants where you can see the plant growth. You can see the little sprout out of the new thing. Or if it's got live bearing fish in it, fish that can reproduce in the tank. When a kid sees that first baby fish show up, they're going to watch that for hours waiting for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
That entertainment level and watching the behavior of different fish as they swim through in and out of the plants, that entertainment value is there, and it's a benefit for the kid too.
Yeah. Also, I don't know how else I'm going to slip this in here, but I recently had a very specific point brought up about aquariums for kids that like in the moment for me was kind of nonchalant, but like when someone questioned me about it, I was like, I guess that's not something that even I really thought about. In one of the daycare centers, they have a fairly large aquarium, and I was caught by one of the teachers doing a pretty hardcore slope on the substrate. And she was like, why are you doing that? And I had never thought about why I was doing it. Yeah. I just did it. And I said, because the average viewer of this tank is much lower than me. And she goes, huh, I would have never thought of that. And I was like, apparently I never did too. I was just doing it.
That's perfect.
But I guess another thing to keep in mind with these tanks is also that like the viewing level is different than yours. So I mm-hmm. like, especially in the tanks that I know kids are looking at, I spend a lot of time crouching in front of it, down on the ground, because necessarily what I see and looks good is not what they see.
Perspective is so important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have to tell a funny story from the AGA convention, and it's actually not about kids, but it's about perspective and about the need for that crouching down. I was a mentor for some aquascaping demonstrations, which meant I had three people that were going to aquascape tanks, and it was a room full of 50 people, and every table had a mentor. And so I was a mentor for these three people, and I was going to help inspire and encourage and try to help them make a better aquascape. And with two of them, they just shined. I mean, they just took it, and you know, there was definitely a little bit of a, okay, I see what you're doing right there, but if you switch at this angle a little bit, ooh, yeah, switch angle, that's good. There was one that I was looking at this tank going, what do you think, man? I'm loving this tank. And I like, you know what? If he is loving that tank, good for him. Because, wow, I'm not seeing it. There's just something wrong here. And I was looking at it from above, and I got over to his side of the table, and I looked at it from his side of the table, and the whole time I'm thinking, Whew. All right. But hey, he is smiling. He is having fun. He's putting the right rocks together. Mm. Maybe not where I would have put them, but he's having fun. And other people came over and looked at it with the same, and I could see the looks on their faces where there's raised their eyebrows. You know, like they, everybody was missing it. And then I sat down and I looked at it straight on. It was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I missed it because I was looking at it from too high an angle. Everything changed when I looked at it from the perspective of someone shorter.
Yeah.
It's pretty poignant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's something to think about a lot, especially like it's not really something I thought about until I started working in service, because all the tanks that I'd ever set up in 2 decades were tanks for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I was thrust into, all right, I need to set up this tank for this doctor for this. And it's like, it's completely different.
Yeah.
It kind of leads me into what I think is a pretty important part when setting up a tank for kids or setting up a tank for a family. Where it sits in your life is just as important as everything else. Ben, you're the one who always says tanks and kitchens are the best tanks.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? You're already working there. You've got the sink there. Tanks in basement bars, let's say, that aren't as well used as Ben's.
Right, exactly.
those are the tanks that oftentimes they're not part of your life.
Yeah.
So having it be kind of a central thing that everybody is living their lives around is really important.
If you have to go up a flight of stairs to do a water change, you're not going to do it.
No.
Period.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah. I'm not even going to do that.
Yeah, no one's going to do it.
Yeah. And if you have to go up a flight of stairs to enjoy your aquarium, even let alone maintenance, it's still not going to happen. It's got to be a part of the ecosystem of your home.
Yeah. It needs to be in a room where people spend time, mm-hmm. not just walk past, not just entertain. Because so the basement bar example is a good one, because with most people, they use their basement bar when they have parties. Mm-hmm. And they make them look good for the parties, and then they ignore them. Hallways seem like a great spot, but you're walking past it. Kids' rooms are okay if it's a room where the kid spends time.
Yeah.
If they sleep there, get dressed there, and walk out, it's not a decoration.
If the light's off by the time anybody's going to be spending time in it,
yeah,
then what's the point?
Yeah. But placing it in a central part of activity. Mm-hmm. Whomever the tank is designed for, where their activity is going to be mostly. Kitchen aquariums, man, those last. Those stick around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great point. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about it. It just kind of evolved out of that whole concept of perspective.
Yeah. We had a rule in our house when my kids were growing up. That no one was allowed to leave the kitchen until everyone could leave the kitchen.
Mm.
Right. And I remember my son and his friend, who he's now basically my son. Anyway, that's one of the bonus kids. Right. They stood there and they looked at me with this, what are you supposed to do? Just stand here and watch you do dishes? And I looked at them and said, no, you're right. You guys do dishes and we'll go play video games. And they went, because both of these kids were pretty logical, right? And so they both were smart enough to know that wasn't a thing. That wasn't, as soon as I said that, they got exactly what that
meant.
I wasn't going to not follow through with that, right? And they said, oh, fine, then we'll just stand here then, right? And so they did. They knew they had to just stand there. And almost every night, they stood there and we chatted and talked about whatever was going on for about 15 minutes after the dishes were done. So if there was a fish tank there, nope, everything's done with the dishes. We're just finished drying the few that are left. Hey, why don't you do the water change in the fish tank quick? Because you're there and it's a place, it's a communal place.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love fish tanks and kitchens.
Yeah, actually, our coral propagation expert, Allie, just left. And she left us with some interesting thoughts and triggered a memory of what I think might be the most impactful little comment about aquariums that somebody has made to me, and it does have to do with kids' aquariums.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're all about STEM education these days. Mm-hmm. And I've had someone tell me, yeah, I want my kids to have an aquarium because it's the ultimate STEM teaching tool. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
There's a new trend that they're calling it STEAM.
Yes, I like that a lot better.
Even better, particularly when it comes to an aquarium.
Because the arts are so important. And to be a well-rounded person, I think you need that little streak of artistry in you.
And to me, an aquarium is a blend of art and science. Mm-hmm. That is the very core of who I am as an aquarium keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you wouldn't know it by the aquariums behind me, but yeah, that is the core.
What are you talking about? They're the most well-maintained, most beautifully aquascape. They can't see them.
You know, we had that comment about there's no way in hell I'd go over, walk up and down a set of stairs to do a water change.
Yeah.
Right? Yep.
Yeah.
That was my mistake.
That's the set of stairs tanks.
Cue the Seinfeld, like, bam, 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 bam.
And, like, the funny thing is anyone who's listening to this would probably look at those tanks and be like, wow, look at all those plants you're growing. Because you are. Just not as many as you could
be. It's nothing I'm proud of, Amy.
Nothing you could be.
Move along. Nothing to
see. Hey, you know what, though? You've had aponogetans with leaves in that tank for over a year. And there are some people who would tell you...
2 years.
Yeah, exactly. There's some people who tell you that's not possible.
So the leaves have melted and grown back 3 times.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But without drying out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nature.
But yeah. Sorry. Anybody who says it's impossible, go read a better book.
Every aponogeton needs a rest phase, right?
Right. Every one of them. Wrong answer. Thank you. Medusa, not Medusa. What's the big aponogeton? The Madagascar?
Madagascar, yeah.
That thing is 5.
Yeah.
Right?
Although it has had rest phases, but never a dry phase. Like it's died back and regrown.
Yeah.
But it's probably had the leaves it's had for over a year.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. Anyway, we digress. Which, you know, let's face it, that's half of why you're listening, right? Because we digress. So, all right, here's all these great ideas for why and how. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is all the reasons for parents and for kids. What are some cool fish tanks ideas for kids?
I have never heard of anybody doing a dirt spawning killie tank for their kids. And that's like, to me, the best kids project.
Oh, that would be so cool.
I mean, classrooms should do it, right?
Every one of them.
You get a year with these kids. Well, 9 months with these kids.
That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Start at the beginning of the year. Keep your pair.
Dude, you could do a full generation and then you could, oh my God. So with the right species, you could start off with wetting the eggs, raising them, getting them to spawn, go through a cycle of eggs with the kids, then those adults spawn, and then you just have eggs that you're incubating over the summer, and you start all over.
We need that science teacher across the street.
Right?
Have we seen her in a while?
I tell her to do Nothos all the time.
All right, next time she's here, come get me.
Will do. We'll go find her. But, I mean, when I was in first grade, our big science project of the year was raising mealworms.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, like 25 years ahead of you?
Yeah. So, oh yeah, look at this is the worm. This is the beetle. Well, that's lame. How about it's the most colorful fish in the world?
I didn't even have the mealworms, you jerks.
Charles over there playing with blocks or something like a loser.
What do you think, Charles? Ultimate kids tank.
Ultimate kids tank.
Or doesn't, you know what? All right. I hate the ultimate. This is the best. No. Just a kids tank that you think would be in the top 5.
A really simple one.
I took the pressure off, man.
Yeah. The one that I've been toying around in my head for the last little while is a 20 gallon long with a bunch of anubias, a sand bottom, some wood, a pair of cribs, and some sort of, let's say, beefier, hardier, shoaling fish. because I think this tank solves a lot of the problems that people have with guppies, but still gives you the benefits.
Yeah.
With the added benefit of there's the aspect of parental care. You get to watch these, so I've mentioned multiple times in the last few episodes of the podcast that I'm working with a species of pelvic acromis, and this is the first cichlid species I've worked with at home. And watching the way these fry behave and interact with each other and grow into personalities is very, very different than anything else I've raised. And that's very intriguing to me. And I can see that being completely engrossing to a child.
Mm-hmm. Watching a kid think they're looking at a family of fish.
Yeah.
And I guess in a sense they are for a while.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a great way to learn that things outside of your inner circle have hopes and dreams.
But they don't also
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. I'm going to pause on that for a second.
The hopes and dreams thing comes from you, Charles. It's your point.
I just didn't think it was going to come up in this podcast. But also the aspect of everyone's always freaked out of what am I going to do with all these babies? Instead of it being a constant problem, it's a sporadic problem. But no pair of cribs I've ever seen kept in a community setting is capable of overpopulating as a...
Right.
Any guppy pair I've ever seen.
Right.
If you don't have an LFS near you that will take baby fish, let me know. And I will personally reach out to every LFS near you and tell them they're being very bad.
Yeah.
A strongly worded letter that basically just reads, "You're monsters."
Yeah. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
When we don't even need guppies, I'll give a dollar a guppy to a kid. Yeah.
But also, here's the thing. There's also an ulterior motive in this. Pelvic acromis pulcher, the crib, quote unquote, there is no reason we as an LFS should ever have to buy that from a wholesaler.
They're so easy.
And we do.
And every time we do, I'm really salty about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you just, as a parent, don't necessarily expect that your kid's going to get paid for their fish.
Right.
And it's okay for an LFS to say, "I'm sorry, I can't buy those fish from you." It's not okay for an LFS to not take those fish and give them a new and better home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying there. And I'm totally serious. I hope I get somebody, even if you're the dude that listens in Australia, say, "Hey, my local fish store will not accept any fish." I know the big box stores won't do it. And I will make those phone calls.
Yeah.
But LFSs in particular.
Corporate nonsense aside,
yes.
If it's an independent store,
let me know.
They have
name.
Room. They can take them.
I'll call them.
And double for shrimp, really.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, if someone's not giving you something for shrimp,
yeah.
What are they doing?
They need to reassess their priorities.
Those are even easier than guppies.
Also, another great kid tank, by the way.
That was the one I was going to bring up.
Guppies?
Yeah.
Or guppies and shrimp. To me, guppies
sure.
and shrimp.
Yeah.
Right? A pile of Nias grass or Java moss, because it's so easy.
Mm-hmm. Guppies and heck, I'll give you a buck for the Nias grass,
heck
too.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. That's it. Just guppies, shrimp, Nias grass. If you can't keep Nias grass alive, hornwort.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now, I feel pretty comfortable saying I don't think we can get enough neos right now.
No, we can't. Other than the brown ones, but I mean, you know, you got to keep a color.
But honestly, we sell out of shrimp culls at $4 a piece all the time.
It's crazy.
People want shrimp.
Yeah.
Someone brought in 50 cherries and we were scrimping within a week.
Yeah. People bring in 50 cherries when we already have 50 cherries and we're like, do we really need them? Yes.
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 Breed trip. So when I was a kid, I wanted fish that didn't look like fish.
Mm.
Right? So a 20-gallon tank, eco-complete, throw a pile of Cryptodontidae in it. Simply because Cryptodontidae loves eco-complete and they're super easy. Put a lifeguard light on it and a timer. 9 hours a day. You probably won't have to scrape algae if it's not getting ambient light. right? I mean, a pile of Cryptoentai. Then 10 Cooly Loaches, 6 Glass Cats, 6 Hatchet Fish, and 6 Cory Cats.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Endless entertainment.
All funky looking fish. And the Cooly Loaches are going to be that, I see one. Mm-hmm. The Glass Cats are going to be like, check out my cool looking fish. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we all want to be cool.
And then you got like 6 Amano shrimp in there for the Where's Waldo of, oh, the shrimp's out.
Yep. Perfect. Yep. Don't put cherry shrimp in that tank. They will not make it. They will get eaten. But yeah, to me, when I was a kid, that would have been the tank that would have kept me interested and kept me looking at them like, look at my funky looking cool fish. They're not boring. They're cool.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, not a colorful fish in the bunch.
Not one.
I mean, one of them's stripety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have a tank idea for colorful fish too that I think is effective. And for me, sunset platies or red platies.
Yeah.
Those bright, like you insist on, okay, I want that bold. I don't like goldfish. So platies are a better choice to me. And if you have a densely planted aquarium, even if it's just full of piles of Anubias plants mm-hmm. that are just, those are to me easier than plastic plants. A pile of one group of platies, you're going to get babies showing up in that tank. You're going to get absolutely. Lots of babies showing up in that tank.
And how much those platies pop against green and black.
I love that.
Oh, you see them from across the room.
Black background, black rocks, tons of bright green Anubias, load it with platies. That's it. That's the whole tank. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'd throw a Bisonose Blacko in that tank.
Yeah, but they always get the best names.
Yeah. All right, so the guppy tank, the platy tank.
The shrimp tank.
The guppy and shrimp tank.
The cichlid pair, scale to size.
Scale to size.
The pet fish tank, which is, it's usually a betta.
Bettas are so easy. Mm-hmm. They're such a good choice.
But if you want to go big, mm-hmm. then an Oscar is a great pet if you want to do 75 plus.
Yeah, yeah. That's a classic that if you have some parent who says, I don't want to spend much money, but I got to get my kid a fish. Set a betta up and set a betta up right, mm-hmm. which is not hard to do.
You can do it for under 100 if you're smart.
Easily. Put a heater on it. Put a heater on it.
I think those Fluval betta kits are amazing for like... Yeah.
Those are great. Do they come with a heater?
Yes.
Yeah, they come with a heater and a low flow filter and a low... It's like a 3 white LEDs.
That's it's perfect. Like it's... If I designed it, it would be probably the same product.
Yeah, they nailed it on that one. And that's under $100.
You can keep Anubias Nana in that mm-hmm. tank.
Yeah.
Easily. So maybe $150 if you really outfit it with mm-hmm. everything cool you want, plus the fish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great little setup. I mean, it's hard to beat a betta. You can train them. They're so food motivated. You can pick out a fish that is uniquely yours, that doesn't look like anybody else's, and give them a name, and mm-hmm. you're attached to that individual. It's hard to beat that as a first tank, whether you're a kid or an adult.
I mean, that's why I'm still in the hobby, is I just had a smoke load of bettas that kept me going.
Yeah. Never goldfish.
Never goldfish.
Did never goldfish? This is like a personal bias, but I feel comfortable with that caveat saying this. I genuinely think goldfish are one of the hardest fish to keep. Mm-hmm. They are so not fun for me.
Yeah. And, you know, I always thought that my parents were a little silly for buying me a bearded dragon when I was 16, a year before I was about to leave for college. Mm. You buy a goldfish for a 10-year-old, you're kind of in the same realm there.
Right. You're talking about a fish that's going to live for 40 years. Yeah.
And so, like, if you do it right, it's a bad idea. If you do it wrong, it's even worse. Right. Never goldfish.
Never goldfish. Can you tell we're goldfish fans around here?
I'm a goldfish fan. I love great goldfish tanks.
Absolutely. Well said. I also tremendously appreciate the parents out there that every once in a while we get somebody who brings in a goldfish that's like 5 inches long that they won at a fair 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
right? That is impressive that they did that.
Yeah.
The goldfish should never be a prize at a fair. That's just, that bugs me. But every once in a while you get somebody who does it and they bring that fish in and say, okay, please set me up with something like that's going to be okay and going to be real and going to be better.
Yeah.
You know,
I totally appreciate the idea of my kid loves this thing. I want to feel like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for it. We want to try. Even if it's a 20 or 30 gallon tank, that's still so much better than what 99% of those fish are getting.
That gives the big, huge round of applause when somebody comes in. Mm-hmm. And I cannot blame the parent that their kid won a goldfish at the fair, right? I blame the fair for that. I don't blame the kid. I don't blame the parent. I blame the fair for that one. 100%.
Yeah.
And maybe the hobby for letting it happen. And
then... Yeah. That's the point where if we can get in there and just say, there's another way, you could have this one fish in a $200 to $300 tank, and it will be an ugly, dirty tank that the fish will probably survive in, or give me the fish. Yeah. I'll get it to someone who has a pond, have 20 different fish. Mm-hmm. Now you have an aquarium. Now you have kids who are having fun with it.
Just so you all know, when Amy there used the pronoun we, she was not talking about the three of us in this room. She was talking about everybody out there listening who now has a much better idea of what to do.
Yeah.
That was the we as aquarists that she was talking about. So good one there, Amy.
What else? I mean, even a 20-gallon clownfish tank, I think, is a great kid aquarium.
I had that written down.
Yeah.
I just didn't bring it up. Yeah, clownfish. You want to get into saltwater? Clownfish are the ultimate kid. And everybody, every single kid that wants to think saltwater is an option wants Nemo.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. That's what they want.
The
movie did that.
Only thing that most people want out of a saltwater aquarium is Nemo.
And they can almost all have Nemo. No, they can't have Dory. That was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go into that in another podcast, or we have. But
also, you don't
Nemo.
Yeah. Yep. But you don't need an anemone to keep Nemo happy either.
A 20-gallon aquarium with a pair of clownfish is a great kid's tank.
And we're still going to encourage you to have live things. Have easy, soft corals in low to medium light.
And the tank's going to be even better. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the plants of a saltwater aquarium. And there are some of them that are that easy. Maybe some of them that are easier.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we've got right now a 1-gallon shrimp aquarium with a hang-on-the-back filter and a little more than ambient light that is functioning just fine.
A saltwater.
Yeah, a saltwater tank.
Mm-hmm. No fish in that tank, by the way.
No. But corals, macroalgae, and literally thousands of tiny invertebrates are growing in that tank.
Cool. Yeah. It's amazing what shows up when there aren't fish predators around to eat them.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, awesome science experiment.
So there's another fish that kids are drawn to that we regularly have, and I think it's because of the eyes. But how would you design the ultimate, easiest kids puffer tank?
Especially because a lot of the times the way that kids access aquariums is through social media. And, you know, there's a pretty big social media guy who's got a pretty big puffer that every kid is in love with.
Mm-hmm. So how would you design, Amy, the ultimate kids puffer tank? And which puffer would you choose?
If you can get a captive bred pea puffer, that's awesome. But really anything in that genus. The little red-eyed puffers, I think, do just fine in a 10-gallon. So if that's the one that you can find, then go for it. If you can find a captive-bred pea puffer, even better, because you can put it in a 5. Heavily planted, feed it well. Pretty much that's it. If you try and put more in there, that's when drama starts.
Right. That's the challenge with puffers. You cannot mix them well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, if you want an aquarium and you'd like a puffer in it, then a South American puffer gets about 4 inches, 30-gallon tank, or even a 20 long if you're stretching a little bit, just fine. Put it with big, robust fish that if they do take a nip out of it, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm going to say my choice is South American puffer, and I'm pretty comfortable with the 20 long with them, mostly just because puffers don't seem to be as active as a lot of fish. Right. So I feel comfortable with a little bit shorter dimension. And I will also admit a little bit of spite. I genuinely think pea puffers are way more popular than they deserve. And they're definitely way more popular than any species deserves, in the sense that no species deserves to be popular enough to be endangered because of it.
Right.
<Yeah. laughs>
So I think the hobby just needs to put the brakes on that species a little bit and realize there's these other options that are just as amazing.
Those South American puffers. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the range of South America puffers, it's South America.
Yeah, it really is. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
A lot of puffers are kind of migratory too. So sometimes they'll show up in some places versus the others. That's why we usually get South American puffers a few months out of the year, but not the whole year.
Yeah.
But they're a little goofier, at least in my opinion. We usually end up putting them in the tank that you can see if you're sitting at the register. So they're a little bit more exciting than some of the other puffers we've had in.
And you can keep them together if you want to. It's just more food.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about a good platy tank. We talked about a good guppy and shrimp tank. We talked about puffers. We talked about a funky, not looking like normal fish tank. We talked about bettas and we talked about clownfish. We talked about nothos. We talked about cribs. There's so many different options out there. And I think there's a couple of important takeaways from this. I think the biggest one to me is give kids a little more credit.
Yeah. I'd also like to point out that of all the fish we talked about today, I think the most exotic we talked about is either the South American puffer or the glass cat. Like those are probably the two hardest to source things. Like these are all things that are readily available.
Yeah.
Like,
and I will say that people want puffers because of their looks. They look and sort of behave like more intelligent fish. They're going to recognize you faster. They're going to start begging faster. They've got those big googly eyes. They look curious. They are not remarkably intelligent fish. They're just not.
Yeah, it's true.
They look like babies. So we see that and we say, ah, human, I understand. But they are not remarkably intelligent fish. If you want an interactive fish, get any fish. Any fish.
True.
Elliot's
remarkably interactive white clouds.
Yes.
Sure. Absolutely. Cherry barbs. Mm-hmm.
Cherry barbs are great.
Corys. Corys are really cute, really individualistic. They all have their own little personalities. They're going to sit in the group differently. It really doesn't matter. Every fish has its own personality.
When I was a kid, I thought corys looked silly.
They do.
I actually put them in my you know, not normal looking fish tank.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I never would have had them in my tank. The other three, absolutely. But now I have a new appreciation
That's
for
so
corys.
Funny
I
to
love
me.
Them. But when I was a kid, I looked at them like, those look silly.
Classic.
I know. Well, I wonder if we busted any myths tonight, guys. I wonder if we like inspired anyone to...
I hope so.
To give a kid a natural looking fish and give them some credit.
Yeah. The most fun conversations that I have in the store are with kids. They ask the best questions. Mm-hmm. They usually get right down to what they need to know. They're so curious and they listen.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have any of the plastic stuff in our store. Nothing.
No.
So that's not what they're asking about. They're asking about the natural looking tanks we have.
Yeah. Hey, I saw this on YouTube. Can I do this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what you have. This might happen if you do that. And it could be a bit of a risk. And kids will listen and absorb that. They understand. They want to do things the best way possible.
I actually think this is a great moment too. I really want to quote, I spent some time talking to one of the daycare providers today. And we had a pretty... Like as I was working on the tank, we had a pretty long conversation about like adults don't give children enough credit. Mm-hmm. And she said something very specific that may or may not be applicable, but I think as a general rule in life is a good thing. And I want to bring it up here because it's children. It's the next generation. It's the next. She said, I like to work here with the philosophy of litigate everything with love. And I've been stuck on that all day, and that's such a really good poignant thought. Like everything should have this brushstroke of like there's an with love in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you should be doing this thing because you think it's fun and you love it. You should be tempering your basal anger emotion with, but you love this person, give them a chance. Or, oh, every aspect of it, like, it's just a good thought to have, especially when you're dealing with children.
Yeah. I like that.
When you're dealing with children or when you're dealing with nature, especially when you're dealing with both.
Yes.
So parents out there, show me some pictures of the kids' tanks that you have that you think have inspired your child to become the next generation of aquarium keepers. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they just kept them entertained for longer than a week or two.
Heck, I know we have some listeners out there that are going to hear this, that keep aquariums because they've been inspired by the next generation. The kids got them into it. Now they're all into it. And that's just beautiful.
It is. And if you're looking for plants for that tank, go to watercolorsaquariumgallery.com.
Yes, more to come soon. Right now, we're kind of caught up, so this is going to come out pretty quick. So I kind of got to put my money where my mouth is when I'm like talking up plans and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Before it was like a month or two. Yeah, we'll do some plans before that. Now it's like, check it out. Right now.
Yep.
Well, yeah, so you know to go to watercolorsaquariumgallery.com for whatever you want to buy from us. But also, if you have questions, comments, concerns, feedback, just want to say hi, send an email to podcast@watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. We love to see anything that's posted in our Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast listeners group on Facebook. That's been really picking up a little bit.
And we've gotten some amazing responses from the Blackwater podcast.
Yes.
I'm blanking on his name, but he posted several photos of his Blackwater tanks through the years. Oh my God.
Yeah. And like literally every tank that's posted on that page, I'm like, oh wow, that's what I would do if I had more time. So you guys are awesome. And I love seeing it.
Well, this was fun.
This was really
this
fun.
This is about fun. So,
and if you've got more episode ideas, please let us know.
Yes. We're going to throw something out here pretty soon. We're going to set up an email address. I don't have it yet. Amy doesn't even know about this one yet. But we're going to have an email address. It's going to go to somebody else on our staff. And we're going to have random questions that we're not going to know ahead of time and do those in a like live, not live. We don't do this live. This is pre-recorded. But anyway, we will record the reading of those questions. So get ready with those questions or ideas that you have to be sent to the website. And that will be announced at the next podcast.
Yes, at the beginning. So at the beginning, for whoever isn't still listening, you'll still get to hear it.
But anyway, thank you so much for listening. Let's have lots of fun and keep those hands wet.